persevering in truth. Truth just states truth. It is what it is. And we, as God's people, are given the truth, then we're told to persevere in it, to stick to it, to abide in it. Psalm 107:20 says God sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. So His word was sent to deliver His people, to heal them and deliver them. His word was. So a lot of times in so-called Christianity, people think in terms of signs, miracles, and wonders where you have an instantaneous deliverance. In reality, many deliverances that we've seen have been over time. Most of our deliverance has been over time because most of our deliverance isn't even recognized by us until sometimes not at all, and sometimes just until something comes up, we go, oh, I used to think that way, but I don't think that way anymore because we've been healed by the Word in that area. So God has given the truth so that we can move ahead by the truth. We can continue to be developed and healed up by the truth. So to start off, I don't know how much we're going to follow this paper, but this is really just for you and your study. But victory in any situation is guaranteed by God, according to 1 John 5:4. It's guaranteed. Look at this verse says. It says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." So the truth is just truth. It's when we believe the truth that we have the victory. The victory that overcomes the world is our faith. See? The truth overcomes the world, but we have to believe it. It has to be believed. So our faith overcomes the world. Our faith is to be in Christ and in His work. He overcame the world. In the Christ, we have the victory. We have the victory. I gave you this verse in John 16. I think it's the last verse in John 16. Jesus Christ said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So if He overcame the world, then as we believe in Him or regarding Him, then the things of the world are overcome by Him and hence by our faith in Him. Do you see that? Okay, so that next point on there, 1 John 5:19 gives us great insight as to what the world, that phrase the world, is referring to. It says, "We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." So Jesus Christ, right, overcame the world, the power of the evil one, and all the world is controlled by that power. We don't see it that way with our physical eyes, but that's what God's Word says. The whole world lies in the power, in the control, the power of the evil one. He's the one that's orchestrating the affairs of this world. It's all driven by selfishness, you know, greed, lust of the eyes, pride, ego, all these things that are springboards in man that drive people forward, and by those things, the adversary controls what's going on. Well, we have escaped his control through Christ. So wherever there's pride, ego, lust of the flesh, right, all fears, greed, selfishness, the list goes on and on, he can still work in our lives to keep us from seeing deliverance in an area. This is real Christianity right here. This is the real deal. This is what Christianity is supposed to be all about. The truth making our lives whole. And so our lives, as they're made whole, exude, produce, put forth this wholeness that's in Christ. So anywhere that we have anything that's of the world is set up as like a roadblock for deliverance. We're going to talk about this in a few minutes a little bit more. But this, God set it up that all of our deliverance would be through Jesus Christ and His work. So the truth is about Christ. Our deliverance is in the truth being upheld in our lives. The truth being accepted and upheld or persevered in. So that we can see that full deliverance that's in Christ more and more and more. So it's not about just believing on Jesus Christ and you get, you know, fire insurance from hell. Mm-hmm. It's about us growing up in and by the truth. See, this is what God is after for his people. So that next paragraph down where it says God's plan and purpose. Well, we better read that line before it. I wasn't going to, but see, join this thought of what we just talked about with what Ephesians 3:11 tells us, that God has purposed all the ages and carried his purpose out, which means formed it or made it to happen, in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God has his purpose, then there's the purpose of the world. The purpose of the world through the evil one is directly contrary to, against God's purposes that are in Christ. So you have God's purpose in Christ, which is, you know, God, purely God, and then you have the world, which is this mixture of all these different things driven by the desires, the lusts of man, pursuits, what he desires, apart from what God desires. All these things of the world are in direct contrast to God's plan and purpose in Christ. So the truth then in Christ is going to be in contrast to the ways of the world. So the truth, as we learn truth, and you're holding on to the truth, you're going to feel a little odd. You're going to feel out of place. And it takes that, people being okay with that, if they're going to persevere in the truth. You will feel out of place. If what we're seeing is true, God's ways in Christ being light, the world is described as being directed by, you know, controlled by the evil one. So you have darkness is in contrast to light. So if we're trying to feel comfortable in the darkness by holding on to the light, you can see why there's going to be a problem. Another way to look at it, as you're holding on to the light, you can see why the world system is going to seem a little odd. You're going to feel out of place in the world. See, as we grow in the truth, we should feel more and more out of place in this world. So one of the songs I thought about singing today, of course, is "This World Is Not My Home." It was where we were going, but the manifestations seemed to cover that. It made it very clear that the world and its ways are different than God's ways. And God says to stick with his love, where he's delivered us. He set us free from the world. So now that next paragraph, God's plan and purpose is in the Christ. His purpose for us also is in the Christ. In the Christ is where God desires for us to abide, to have our faith. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The system is against the truth in Christ. The devil and his cohorts are our enemies. Just think about this as we're reading this here in Ephesians 6:12. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So our fight is against the rulers of darkness. When you are contending with ill health, with lack of finances, lack of wholeness of thoughts, emotional roller coasters, etc., 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 you are contending with evil spirits, spiritual adversaries. This is what Scripture declares. So it's something that appears, when you're contending, you've got this fight going on in you. You're dealing with ill health, you know, any lack in any way, be it finances, emotional stability. You're dealing with fears, as we heard in the manifestations. Cast those fears down. They're not of me, God said. Fear is not of God. So when we recognize these thoughts that we know are contrary to God, realize that you are not contending with thoughts alone. Those thoughts came from somewhere. Those thoughts came from these rulers of darkness. This is what the Scriptures tell us. So when you know you're dealing with something in your mind that's contrary to the truth, which first takes knowing what the truth says, right? That's always the first step. But that's what we spend a lot of time on, you know, in these fellowships and in these classes. What is the truth? So that you can recognize when something is contrary and then do with it what you choose. That's totally up to you, between you and God. But to recognize what is contrary to the truth so that you can, like in one of those manifestations said, cast it down. Cast it down. Say, no, you know, fear, you are not going to control me in this situation. Anxiety, no, you're not going to get a grip in my life. Because God in Christ has delivered me. And so you're replacing those thoughts with the truth. But the first thing is to know the truth so you can recognize those thoughts that are contrary. Okay, let's talk about this a little bit, though. These thoughts that are contrary. Our minds, what we're talking about here is the renewing of the mind. Okay, when you boil it down, there's different ways to say it, but Romans 12:2 says that we're to be transformed, have a complete change for the better by the renewing of our minds. So our thoughts, okay, say you get born again when you're 15 years old, 20 years old, whatever the case may be. Up to that point, okay, your mind has almost purely been built by the world. Say you get born again at 15. Does that mean that no more is your mind built by the world? Au contraire. The world continues to build its thought patterns into us. Why? Because the adversary is not an idiot. He knows if he can build his thought patterns into you and develop your mind accordingly, then it's going to be harder for you to hold on to the truth in an area where you're more developed by his system. So he pushes his fears, his anxieties, you know, his frustrations, his defeats, all this stuff. Anybody feel like more than a conqueror by the world? You know what? If you asked an audience of 50,000 people, if you had one hand go up, I would be surprised. If a hand went up, it would be a false feeling. They feel like they're a conqueror because maybe they ran a race against 50 people and they won. Well, what about the next race they run? Or say it's 20 races later. They're going to lose eventually. See it? The world sets us up to be a failure. So we're all conditioned to be failures. But in Christ, we're more than a conqueror. See the contrast? We're victorious in Christ. See, the world is overcome by our faith because our faith is in Christ. So the world, as it's pushing its thoughts upon us, we've got to be able to recognize what thoughts are contrary. The only way to do that is to know the truth. So this exercise, you know, Bobby's got us on, is a great exercise to learn what the truth is all about and develop patterns of thought accordingly. Okay, well, so let's back up to that analogy again. So you're 15 years old, 20 years old, you get born again. So the adversary has had years to build his systems of thinking into your thinking. You think it's your thoughts. But you're deceived. Your thoughts, are they God's input or are they the devil's input? Because it's only one or the other. People talk about having their own thoughts, but what it really is, if you have a thought of your own, it's really a combination of thoughts that were already put in your brain. You have a brand new idea. No, you don't. You've taken other thoughts and ideas and merged them together. We don't have original thoughts. God gives thoughts. The world gives thoughts. So where are your thoughts originating from? If you have been, say you've been beaten down verbally by a parent. You know, you always do things wrong. You'll never amount to anything. Okay, you hear this day after day, year after year. By the time you leave that house, you are so conditioned to being a failure and worthless that God has a very, very big work to do to get his word in to replace those thoughts. Because your mind is so conditioned to be a failure, to fall short in whatever you do. The world propounds and propounds and propounds its ways. So how much time are we spending a day to refute those thoughts? How much time are we building the word into us to where light can dispel that darkness? Because if we don't do that work, the only work we're given to do to build the truth into our minds, the darkness is going to prevail. And we have physical unsoundness, we have mental unsoundness, all a result of the world's pushing its ways. We have emotional instability. We have unsoundness in all categories of life where the darkness prevails. Maybe nothing surfaces as being a problem yet, but that pattern of thought that's been pushed upon you, whether it's by parents, friends, oh, you can never, you know, whatever, hit a baseball very well. You could never do such and such. Oh, you'll never be a good driver, you know. Well, look at those accidents you got in. You must not be a good driver. Right? And it just pushes and pushes and pushes. Defeat, frustration, failure. Day after day, hour after hour. And we think that a lot of our thoughts are our own thoughts. And we're wrong. We're wrong. They're not our thoughts. So the question is, whose thoughts are they? And then what do I want to do with those thoughts that are contrary to the truth? Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. We're given to persevere in the truth and say, no, I'm not going to be afraid of this any longer. Fear was defeated by Jesus Christ, and what overcomes the world is my faith regarding him. So he's going to lose. Yeah.
You know, I learned this when we just had a class called What is the Gospel? I don't know if you guys probably had that during the, if you've taken the class, but there's something that I just picked up this week. And it has to do with this is related as well, because you've got the gospel, which is the centerpiece of the gospel, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? And then you believe in Jesus Christ, or on Jesus Christ, and then it produces effects, which are also called the gospel, right? But when it talks about our faith is to be in Christ, to overcome the world, it's not talking about that initial belief that Jesus is Lord. What it's talking about is belief in the effects that you get as a result of believing that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it's just not sufficient to just believe Jesus Christ is Lord and expect to have overcome the world. You've got to believe in the results of that, which is the identity you have. Mm-hmm. And that's where you get the, and that's how, that's where it says the gospel is the power of God. That's what, that's the gospel is talking about, is the effects of believing that Jesus Christ is Lord, our new identity, the effects of being a new creation, correct?
That's why we spend all this time on this. This is exactly what it's about. And when Jesus Christ returns, that is going to be very, very clear. You know, ministers today are to make that clear now so that people aren't, you know, come up with this big surprise at the return of Jesus Christ. It's all about the truth. It's all about the truth. Our next scripture there, John 8, 31 and 32, and then verse 36. Look what Jesus Christ said here. Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed in him, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So what makes us free?
Abiding in the word.
Yeah, abiding in the word slash knowing the truth. Right? Because the truth makes us free. The truth makes us free. Well, this word know, as I gave it to you on your paper, means to intimately know or experientially know. This type of knowing is when the thing known influences the knower so that there is a relationship between the two. We're to know the truth. So we as the knower are to have this intimate relationship with the thing known, the truth. Yes, the best one I know of is we all know our mother or our father, whoever raised us. They have so influenced us that we do things patterned after them without even thinking about it, because it's become your heart. They've so influenced you. That's this knowing.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I have another one that really speaks to me, is that we all know our gender. Like, I know why I'm a woman. Everything that I do, I don't wonder about going in the male's bathroom. I don't wonder about the clothes I buy. I don't wonder about, you know, being a female. I believe it so much that it influences everything that I do.
Yeah, so your gender, knowing your gender, is that same kind of an idea. That's a good one, because that's something that we deal with all the time.
Right.
Right?
That's really very good.
Yeah, it's a very good one. It's real practical.
Yeah.
So We should work to develop this kind of relationship with the truth. Same way we know our gender, that we're so convinced of it. See? To know the truth this way. Why? Because the truth shall make you free. Now, the context of this freedom is freedom from sin in John 8. Now, sin, we think of sin as, oh, things that are wrong. But sin is that which is contrary to God. Okay? Sin being contrary to God has its negative effects. This is all incorporated into this term sin. So to be free from sin passed to us through Adam, to be free from living contrary to God, then from there to be free from the effects of living contrary to God or being contrary to God, which is all sicknesses, disease, death, fears, anxieties, this whole list that we talk about being passed from Adam. Okay? Freedom from this. If you are maxed out in your freedom from sin, you don't need to be here any longer because the rest of this teaching, matter of fact, I wouldn't even come to fellowship anymore because you don't need them. But if you haven't seen or experienced deliverance from sin and its ramifications, like you know is available in Christ, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth that is the key to being made free in these areas. I don't care if it's pride, ego, fears, wrong desires, desires of the flesh, lusts that take, that you just have to have something or do a certain thing. It resolves all this stuff. See, sin was never designed to overtake us, which it does in the world. Sin is of the world, not of the Christ. Sin is therefore defeated in the Christ. In the Christ we have victory. Truth in Christ makes us free from sin and all of its ramifications. Praise God. It's our deliverance is in Christ. Okay? Very clear. Since the truth is what frees us from sin and its consequences, then the adversary's attack is ultimately against the truth. He tries to defeat us by keeping us from or attempting to remove the truth from us. Those of us that know it anyway. So the solution is to hold to the truth. See, God knows that our deliverance is in the truth. He sent Jesus Christ to make this known. Paul made it known. Peter, John, they all made the same thing known. Our deliverance, the solution to the sin problem, is in Christ or in the truth. So the adversary's attack, of course, is to be on the truth, distort it, water it down, keep people from knowing it initially, but once they know it, then you've got another job to do. You've got to distract them from the truth, keep them from knowing the truth further for it to get further developed in their heart. This is the attack of the adversary because his game is always against the truth. But hold to the truth. See, as Christ put it, abide in my word. Abide in my word, as we saw from John 8:31. See, the word truth, the word, the truth, is to be held in the mind. The mind is where the fight is won or lost. It's all our thoughts. See, and that's why the system of the world is developed to so develop our thoughts contrary to the truth. We are told to renew our minds to the truth, according to Romans 12:2. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith, that we saw in 1 John 5:4. The tools of the enemy are then thoughts contrary to the truth. Learn to recognize his attacks by these contrary thoughts and ideas. He's subtle. Be careful here. He is really subtle. You'll think that these thoughts are your own, which we talked a little bit about. It just seems like it's your mind. You've got to realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not with flesh and blood. Your thoughts came there somehow. They've been developed into you by some source. Ultimately, it's either God, so it's truth, or it's through the adversary who's against you, adverse to you, adversary, so it's lies. Very comfortably speaking, I'll say this from my own perspective. That makes it safe. It's my opinion. most of our thoughts are still contrary to God. Therefore, we say, well, why are we seeing so many problems if we're sticking to the truth? Well, how much are we sticking to the truth? How much is truth governing our lives? See, and this is why there's problems. And maybe for years, some problem's not going to surface. But as you continue to think according to the darkness, ultimately, it's designed to produce negative effects. Effects that are contrary to us. That's why the Bible calls him our adversary. He is against you. He's fighting against you to keep you from the truth. So really, what you know, you can say this in a way like, well, think about what you're thinking about. Consider what your thoughts are. When you wake up in the morning, what did you dream about, you know, through the night? What were your, those thoughts came from something. You don't just dream a dream, you know, connected to nothing. That thought came to you. You dreamt from a thought that was or a concept that was introduced to your mind. See, what? How about, you know, the things that you think about during the day? You know, like we talked about, when you get to lunch, think about what you thought about since breakfast. When you get to dinner, think what you thought about since lunch. And then, more and more, these affirmations are going to be very applicable. Because you'll see more where to plug in the truth, where you see, oh man, I didn't think the truth at all in this area. So the adversary still has a grip where we think according to his lies. See, God designed the truth to free us up from these lies. So these thoughts, many times, they're not your own. They're not your own. See, these thoughts will seem so logical and reasonable. They will. They'll seem so logical. You know, this is why I'm thinking this way. I just heard a weird noise outside. There's reason to be afraid. No, there's not. You know, truth says that by his stripes we were healed. But, you know, I've been dealing with this sickness now for a week and a half. You know, when is ever truth going to deliver me? So, you know, anxiety starts to come in. Where's that anxious thought coming from? Is that from God? See, these thoughts that are contrary to truth are not your own. They are from the father of lies, the adversary. He's the one that promotes them. You know, felt like this point should be hit on this topic. Two most common attacks are condemnation and discouragement. When you're trying to hold to the truth, condemnation and discouragement are two of the big attacks that I see repeatedly on God's people and myself. Condemnation comes from perceived failure. Condemnation, it literally means judgment against. Judgment against. So when you've come to this conclusion against yourself, it's because you have perceived failure. Say you're trying to, you're dealing with this thing. This coworker at work is just needling you and driving you into the ground and, matter of fact, convincing your boss that you're worthless. This guy, in your mind, has to go. Something has to change. Because he's got no right to do this to a son of God, right? This guy is directly, obviously, being used by the adversary to hurt one of God's people, you. And so you in your mind know this is contrary to the truth. Something has to stop. So you're praying, you're praying, you're praying. You're not seeing a result for a week, then 2 weeks, then 3 weeks. So you're not seeing this result yet. So you start putting in the truth wherever you think the truth is fitting in the situation or what truth is fitting. So you're trying to put on, wait a minute, I'm sanctified. This guy has no authority over Christ, and I'm in Christ, and you're putting on the truth. See no results. Then it's 4 weeks. Then it's 5 weeks. You see no results. Then the adversary introduces a thought, maybe you're doing something wrong. Okay? Maybe you need to do something like, threaten him. Maybe you can contact Luigi and have Luigi break him at the kneecaps. Maybe. See, you're logically and reasonably considering the adversarial thoughts contrary to the truth. And if you are willing to ponder them, to incubate them and give them life in your thoughts, they will take root and start to produce something. So when that happens, see, what you're doing is, what I'm doing is failing. That is condemnation. It's condemnation. You've judged against yourself. Wait a minute. Truth has concluded that in Christ you have the victory, right?
Yep.
Go back to our first verse, right? This is what overcomes the world, even our faith. Or you shall know the truth shall make you free. Is it from every situation, you know, but the guy at work? Does truth make us free in any situation or every situation, or is it just some situations? Well, you know, truth shall make you free, and the context is sin. It has to be covering every aspect of sin. Truth has to be that powerful. I know we're not seeing the power of the truth to this degree, but that doesn't mean it's not that powerful. Look, I could have electrical access to the city in this house. But if I have nothing electrical to put on, does it mean the power's not there?
No.
Say I have just one light. So I put that one light on. Wow, it's neat to know that all the access I have and power, you know, electrical power to the city is the ability to turn on one light bulb. Just because I'm seeing it just in one area or a little bit of the power of the gospel affect my life in an area, does that mean that that's the fullness of the power of the gospel?
No.
Can't be. Yeah, it can't be. God's word, the gospel, has to be much more powerful than we're seeing it. So what's the key? Stand against the adversary and his attacks. Persevere in the truth. His attack, one of his main attacks, is going to be condemnation when you're sticking to the truth. Another one is discouragement. That next paragraph. While we're persevering in the truth, we don't see results. Let me read that again. While we're persevering in the truth and we don't see results, discouragement is an obvious attack on the truth. We get thoughts like, oh, look at how long you've been dealing with this situation or problem. There must be something wrong. Why hasn't this resolved yet? What if you try something else for results? Kind of ties into the condemnation thing. They're both really closely related, but they're different in that you get discouraged where you lose your drive in the truth. Condemnation is where a thought comes up and it sets itself against the truth, see? And because of that, you consider that the truth hasn't worked or you have failed in some way, so you have judgment against yourself. See, both these are very, very strong attacks of the adversary. But these thoughts are not from your Father who loves you. Consider what 1 Peter 5 verses 6 to 10 give us. At this point, we should turn there. 1 Peter 5. This is such a great section of Scripture regarding this stuff. In 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 6, from verse 5, it gives us, you know, God gives grace to the humble. Verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, or when the time is right. 1 Peter 5, 6. So, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you when the time is right. So, to humble yourself is to make yourself low. In other words, God is the one you're making higher, therefore you're lower. What he says is right, and you're going to humble yourself to that. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Hand represents work. It says the mighty hand, the mighty work of God. Humble yourselves under his mighty hand, his strong, powerful work, that he may exalt you when the time is right. Does it say he's going to exalt you immediately?
No.
So you introduce the thought. I'm going to come back to that. I know some of us wish that it did, but on the other hand, there's a greater value if it doesn't immediately deliver us. Watch. God, in his own time, in his right time, is going to deliver us. We know that when we've been dealing with a situation and we introduce truth, that we haven't every time been immediately delivered, right?
Correct.
Well, in proper time, it says, God will deliver us. Humble yourself under his mighty hand that he may exalt you, lift you up, okay, at the right time. Verse 7 says, casting all your anxiety, your cares on him, because he cares for you. The reason we cast our cares upon him is because he cares for us. See, we're challenged with a situation. God, you're the great deliverer. You know, your work in Christ has resolved this. We're casting our cares to him. See, we're turning to his power, his mighty hand, his strong work in our behalf. Casting all our cares on him because he cares for us. Isn't that great? He cares for us. Verse 8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's verse 8. So in light of that, I want to read the rest of this paragraph. We left off at 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. It says, we're to humble ourselves to the truth to ultimately, not always immediately, see God's mighty hand of deliverance. Verse 8 says that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. These lions of the Bible lands were known to hunt in the tall grass where they would wait to hear their prey. Then they would roar to freeze their prey to be able to pounce on and devour them. So they would wait in the grass where they hear something. Then when they heard something close enough, they would roar to freeze it and prey. And where they heard that sound last, they know where it stops. That's where they pounce. But the prey has to stop in fear. So don't allow him to freeze you in fear. Consider where your thoughts are coming from. Don't consider his suggestions designed to generate fear in you. You just don't give him that room. Instead, humble yourself to what God says is true. Refute the adversary's suggestions by persevering in the truth. By the truth, we put up the shield of faith, which quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one, according to Ephesians 6:16. So you stick to what the word says, and it, like a shield, quenches all those fiery darts. And the adversary, if you don't respond to him, see, in fear, then he doesn't give him room to pounce and devour. But where we turn from the truth and consider his thoughts, it gives him room to pounce. That's where he gathers his strength, is when we respond to his suggestions. What you're thinking about in your situations, okay, determines where this is going to go. Are you going to hold to the truth, first know the truth, and then hold to the truth? Are you going to take the suggestions of the adversary, which many times have already been developed into us? They're so richly developed into us, you think a thing's going to go a certain way already because of the way he's already pushed his thoughts into you. He's a liar. Jesus Christ said he's the father of lies. He's promoting his thoughts as if they're just the way you are. And the whole time it's a lie. You're the way you are because of how your mind has been developed by thoughts. That's the way you are. And that's why you're the way you are. So God has given us the truth to redevelop our thinking that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds into the wholeness that's in Christ. Not only regarding the situation or situations you're dealing with, but all of the rest of them. Jesus Christ in his work completely reversed the sin problem. Jesus Christ in his work completely resolved the sin problem. In him is the deliverance. In him is the victory. And that's where this section leaves us, as you're going to see. So verse 9, well, verse 8, I told you about the lion, you know, roaring. He wants to freeze you, right? This leads us into verse 9. Let's read verse 9. It says, but resist him, the adversary, right, as the roaring lion. And by the way, he says in verse 8, your adversary, the devil, your adversary. He's adverse to you. You know, if he's not working through thoughts and ideas, where is he out there? Where is he? Do you see him out there with a sledgehammer smashing your car to make you mad? Or do you see him introducing thoughts with a sledgehammer to smash your life in Christ? Where is he? Is he out there running around like in a red suit with horns and tail, forked tail? Where is the adversary? It says here, your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, when you're getting up in the morning, do you see him grab your wallet or your purse, you know, off your desk or wherever you have it, you see him run away with it? Is it a physical thing? Or is this thing really spiritual with words and ideas? Is there an adversary? If there is, according to what the scriptures say, there is. How's he working? It says he's walking about, right? He's walking about trying to freeze people in fear to devour them. Get them to respond to his thoughts. Really wild, but it's what's the way it is. Yeah.
Remember last summer, I had, in case anybody didn't know this, we had to move. We're looking for a place to move. I had gotten time off from the job to find a place. They fired me when I was off. I got fired, so therefore I couldn't find an apartment because I didn't have a reference for a job. And we had to move. And then the car, the clutch burns out in the car. So we can't, have no way to go anywhere. I don't have any money. We have to find a place to move. And Elsie and I, this is, I'm going to tell you, the devil, this is what first, Mike brought this to my mind after, but we were so frightened, so frozen, we just didn't do anything but lay in bed.
Yeah.
And then finally, one of us thought about calling somebody in the fellowship, and we talked to, you know, brother and sister, I think it was maybe Larry the first time. I said, we need some prayer. And then I was telling you about it, and you said, yeah, the devil freezing, and he froze us. We were both locked in, man. It's like when that car wouldn't go, we had no way to go anywhere and look at anything. We just,
you know, like give up,
just close the books.
Yep.
You know, and he will do that, and he'd come right through your mind. And as soon as we got to the word and with the fellow, this is where the family of Christ is so really important, because we pray for one another and snap each other out of these things, you know, and chase him away. You know, like you can chase the devil away for somebody else. You don't have to, you know, he doesn't have to be your own personal thing, you know. And that's what, I never forget that. I mean, that's just so, that, I never
yeah, that's a good
that.
Example. Yeah. And we all have these examples.
Frozen.
Yep, we all have these examples. If we stuck to the word at all. So 1 Peter 5:9 on your paper tells us further how to resist the roaring lion. To resist means to stand against. Literally means to stand against. We resist him. Now, wait a minute. If he's coming in thoughts, how do we stand against him? In thought, with the truth. You understand? When he is promoting an idea of fear, wait a minute. Where's that thought coming from? I resist him. I stand against him by saying, look, perfect love casts out fear. Jesus Christ already delivered me. Fear, you got to go. And you stand against him by his thoughts with the thoughts of the truth. See, because the fight is in the mind. What is the outcome is determined by your thoughts. So we resist him by holding our position in the faith. The faith is what we are to believe, reality in Christ. By what is true in Christ, because of his redemptive work, we stand firm against the devil. This is our position of victory. Remember 1 John 5:4, right? It's on the first part of the paper. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So verse 9 in 1 Peter says, resist him firm in the NASB says, your faith, it should be the faith. Resist him firm, steadfast, strong, like you're not going to move in the faith. You know what the truth says, and you stay put. That's how you resist him. He cannot defeat the word, because darkness does not overpower light. Light overpowers darkness. When? We don't know, but it does. See? In verse 6, it says, right, in due time, at the right time, when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, you know, he will exalt you in due time, when the time is right. When is that time? We don't know. But there's a greater thing involved here. More than just the truth overcoming that situation, God is interested in us being developed by the truth, being conditioned to the truth. So how long does it take for you to be conditioned to the truth? You and I don't know. God does. He says, stick to the truth. In due time, when the time is right, he will exalt us above the situation. But we stick to the truth. How long is that going to take? That's not the issue. The issue is that truth will overcome. The truth shall make you free. It will work. It will do that work. Do you see it? That needs to be clear. So 1 Peter 5:9 further states that we stand firm in the faith, knowing that these same experiences of suffering that we are dealing with are accomplished or fulfilled in our brethren. So whatever you're dealing with, your brethren are also dealing with it. You're not alone. Others have seen victory regarding the same situation you are dealing with. So if others have seen it, seen the truth overpower the situation, what about your situation? Truth will overcome in your situation too. 1 Peter 5:10, let's read that, says, after you have suffered for a little while, you see that little while? Mm-hmm. In due time, it said in verse 6. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Confirm isn't in most of the text, but these other three words are strong enough. Look, it says, after you have suffered a little while, God will himself perfect you. You know what perfect means? It's that word which means to mend your nets. The holes in your life, he's going to sew them up. He will do this. What are we to do? Hold to the truth. Hold to the truth. Persevere in the truth. Hold to it. See? And he will perfect you. He will sew up that which is lacking in your life. You know, typically man wants to play God. It's Genesis 3. And man's played God ever since. I'm going to right my own wrongs. I'm going to fix my own life. I'm going to take control of my own life. I'm going to figure out what's wrong and put attention there to where it gets fixed. You know what? We are nothing. Our flesh is weak. We are unable to accomplish what God's word is designed to accomplish. God sent his truth to deal with our situations. He doesn't say, I will empower you to deal with the situations. I will give you my truth. You will be empowered by the truth and see the truth overcome your situations. Isn't that interesting? So you got the twists of this, like we've got the power. I'm a manifestation of the power of God. What we should be saying or thinking is the truth is the power of God. As I hold to it, it will manifest its power through me. See, the focus is not us, it's the truth. That's the word perfect, to sew up the holes in your life. It also, he will strengthen us. To strengthen means to make you firm, established, fixed. He'll make you firm, established, or fixed to where you're unmovable. Wow, that's cool. He will do this as we persevere in the truth. Then the last point is establish you. Establish you is to make you strong. It makes you strong. You know, people say, well, you know, or look back in your own life. Think about how much stronger you are as you've put on the truth than what you used to be. You know, one of the things I get traveling around, you know, Christianity is, how come you pray so differently? You pray like, you know, God is really hearing you and that he's going to answer your prayers. Well, I know it's funny, maybe funny to us because we've been so conditioned in that area of truth so much that we know that God hears our prayers and we know that God is strong in behalf of his people. So we pray, you know we have access to him through Jesus Christ. So we pray something like, Father, you know, I know you've already dealt with a situation through your son and I thank you for us being able to see that power enacted in this situation instead of, oh, Father, I know I did this thing wrong yesterday. Please, will you turn my way and just grace me this one time? You see the difference? That's because truth has replaced error in our thinking. I used to pray that latter way, but truth has changed my thinking. See, I used to go up against a situation with all that I had. Now I know to go up the situation with the truth that's been given to me.
So you kept getting stronger then.
And it strengthens me. It strengthens me. Thanks. Coming back to that point. It strengthens us. So that strength is recognized in your character. You get the strength of God in your character because you're putting God in your character by putting the truth, which is God, in your character. Does that make sense? The truth came from the source of God the Father. So as we put that on, it gives us the strength of Him, gives us the wholeness of Him, gives us the stability of Him, gives us Him in His characteristics. That's why, you know, as we covered a couple weeks ago, you know, from Romans 5, verses 3 to 5, that the truth builds the character of the Word in us. So we hold to the truth, it builds the character of the Word in us. So God will make us perfect. He will establish us. He will strengthen us. Why? Because we're holding to the truth. You see it? Yeah, Larry?
What I meant by that actually is, okay, so the analogy you said is I used to rely on, you know, my ability to go up against the situation.
Yeah.
I said you kept getting stronger in that because you kept putting your ability to, you know, let's say if it's in a Bible thing, you kept, you know, studying the Bible to get more Bible and get more Bible. So you go up and you fight somebody and you got this much Bible. Well, you're going to come up with somebody who's got this much Bible eventually, and they're going to kick your butt. But if you trust in the truth to fight that situation, however strong that person may be, you're fighting it with truth, and it's a different. That's what I was.
Yeah, that is a different thing.
So now,
you're made stronger by the truth.
Yes, but you can't be any more stronger in the truth. You are made strong the day you get born again.
Yes, but your renewed mind makes you more established or stronger in the truth. In other words, you're made everything you could be made in Christ at that moment of the new birth. You know, like you're saying, but the mind has to adapt. That's why it says be transformed into that very image that God has made you to be in Christ. Be transformed into that by the renewing of the mind. Getting our mind to think the truth. See?
It sounded also like the truth fights the battle.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Fighting it.
Yes.
The truth does the battle. The you know.
Fat chance on fighting the.
You know.
Answer.
Instead of fighting.
Right.
Well,
you know.
It's spiritual, right?
So, it is spiritual. It's spiritual, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but spiritual, right?
Yeah. And Mike, one quick thing. I know you probably already talked about this. Maybe I didn't hear it, but that in 1 Peter 5:10, that suffered is not like the suffer that we know.
No, I didn't touch on that. No, it means endure, but it means in the negative, it could be mean negative or positive. In other words, to endure, if it's a challenge, you would call that suffering through it. Uh-huh. You're having to put up with the challenge. In the positive, you know, you're suffer, it's not very many times translated in the positive, but it means you're having, like, enduring being at Magic Mountain. You've been waiting to go to Magic Mountain for 6 months. You're at Magic Mountain. You're enduring. You're going through it throughout the day. You're putting up with it. You're, you know, enduring it. I know it sounds like a weird thing, but it's used in the positive and the negative. In the negative, we would think in terms of suffering or having to put up with something. On the other side, it's getting to put up with it.
Well, doesn't it go back to verse 6 that He would exalt you at the proper time?
Yeah, but what... What do you mean?
I'm just saying, because the connotation of suffer in the world is like, I'm going to hang you up by your toenails and pull out your eyelashes one by one.
Right.
You know, that there's like some kind of physical pain involved, you know. But it's not, that's not really, the suffering is like the enduring, right? The kind of dealing
could
with
it.
Yeah, when you,
growing pains.
When you look at this word, when you study through this word, it's because the truth is contrary to the lies, you're going to have to put up with stuff. That's essentially what it means. In other words, you might be dealing with a situation because lies have been so pushed into us, you know, the sin of Adam has been so pushed into us, then we're holding on to the truth, therefore we're suffering. We're dealing with this thing because it's been pressed upon us. Okay, so there's this time involved of dealing with it. That's the suffering in verse. But it's always, for us, it's because we're holding on to the truth, it's contrary to these lies, therefore we will endure tribulation because of the word, it says. It's just a stark reality, but that's what it is.
Bullinger has here in the 10th verse there, has, after a while, he'll make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And that settle is like a ground as in a foundation.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of neat, you know. If you're relying on the world, you know, the world is going to pressure you, make you doubt, make you fear, and freeze you up, you know?
Yeah.
These are like the opposite of the
Totally opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. So the truth does this work. So keep on keeping on, in other words. God is behind his word. His gospel is the power of God unto wholeness, according to Romans 1:16. God provides his word for our deliverance, according to Psalm 107:20, which reads, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So persevere in the truth. This is the victory for God and his people. See, this also gives a victory to God, because he's done all this work and he sees his children having to deal with stuff. He gets the victory also when we persevere in the truth. So, okay, so hold to the truth and consider where your thoughts are coming from. Those thoughts you think are yours aren't necessarily your thoughts. Okay?